Welcome to Starfield Lovers Encore. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm on SLB Online, Fedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just wonder how to join us for a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone to dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or you can, for the best online experience, where you can do, you can go to twitch.tv, yes, twitch.tv/sfuoncall, and go to join the chat room there, and also be able to watch my lovely face streamed live, and hopefully it won't break your monitor. But if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, me to follow on the Twitters. Yes, I'll be calling it Twitter to the end of time. And you can follow my account, SFU on Call, or you can follow my personal account, Paul Franz, P-A-U-F-R-N-Z. There's no T in that. And of course, my business account, Franz Games, F-R-A-N-Z-G-A-M-E-S. And again, there's no T in that. But if you want, also, I'm on Blue Sky, whatever that's called, Blue Sky. I'm not sure what a post is called. Whatever. I have two accounts there. Obviously, I got the sfuoncall.beastguide.social. I got that account. But also, I have my own personal and business account, which are kind of glommed together, which is franzgames.com. So you'll find me there. I'm light on the social, but you know, if you DM me, I will definitely be happy to respond. And of course, the lovely podcast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Steve Petrick has been busy working on reviewing the Orion Master Starship book. You know, obviously, the changes that Gene had been reviewing and checking to make sure that everything was correct. And I'm sure he's possibly even updating it. You never know. And Steve Gulf actually got to finish the Leader in Cyril War scenario for Civil Wars, you know, the F&E module. And when it comes to found the online store for this week, we have uncut card sheet for Starfleet Battle Force. Yes, for $35.95, you can get a rare limited edition uncut sheet of all 132 cards and the credible treasure to be framed and displayed in your rumpus room or bar or whatever. Yeah, to me, I think it's definitely worth it. If you're a Starfleet Universe fan, this would be a great thing to put on your wall, because the pictures that are on Starfleet Battle Force live up to what it is today. You know, today's standards. They were beautiful when they were created, and even though the game's gotten shown its age to a certain degree in that it's old, but you know, old deals. It's like 15 years old at least. So the artwork on this is a fantastic and definitely worth keeping a copy of, and even framing it and putting it on your wall. I think it's a great piece. Actually, I'm thinking about, maybe I'll do that myself. Moving on and forward, when it comes to the SFU Online tournaments, the 19 is not yet open yet. Obviously, the Patrick's been having his issues. And I'm not sure what ADB is going to want to do about Sapphire Star 19 tournament. I might ask if they want me to volunteer to be the judge and keep running it. Not sure what the plan is. But of course, when it comes to the 500 BPV tournament, Dana and Ed, both of those were playing on Monday. They continued the game. Actually, I got to notice that their game was going. That's about it. Because I was doing a little bit of work on the client this past week. But Justin and I will finally be able to actually get started, and that's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be 6 o'clock my time. He wants to start a little bit earlier. I talked to him about that, but I don't think I really want to do it because I'd have to, somewhere we had to take a break for an hour because I have to feed my son. Because he's coming to visit and I'm the only person here. So it's just going to be him and me. So I need to make him dinner, or at least pick up dinner, one of those two. Anyhow, moving on forward and onward and forward, I think that's right. The library report, no updates when it comes to Frank, though he said if you want me to send him the current definitions, I got to talk to him, I got to double check on that email, because it seems like he might have to redo something. I think it was the hydrants was the issue. Also, I know he wanted to work on the Tholians. There were some emails about the Tholians, which I need to look at. And when it comes to FedCom library, and there's no progress there. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's one of the old Puffins, welcoming you to Starfield Universe on call. And tonight, just me. Doug currently has no internet due to no fault of his own, but so he will not be joining us this evening. Hopefully he will join us next week. No, I think it might not be next week. I gotta check. I forget when things clear up. He'll tell me. But anyhow, moving on onward and forward. Let me just do something which I normally do. Hi. Yep, all set. Just wanted to bring up Twitch on my monitor over here. And so we're going to start with the topic tonight. Actually, there's a couple topics that I want to talk about. But one of those is, we'll start this one, which is TalkShoe has been bothering me lately. They seem like they don't really have their act together when it comes to being a podcasting platform, at least for me. You know, maybe I'm not using it right. I'm gonna tell contact support and see if they can somehow work it out so that I don't have to keep constantly contact support about, hey, yo, hello, I need you to actually publish my podcasts. You know, and if that doesn't work, I'm not sure what I'm going to do at the moment. Actually, there's a couple of things I can do. The thing is, currently, friends, Romans, podcast listeners. My question is, how are you listening to the podcast? If you could email me, that'd be great. At sfuoncall@gmail.com, that'd be fantastic. Because currently, one thing I'm thinking about doing is getting off of TalkShoe, at least, you know, whenever I can. I moved from using possibly, you know, what currently it is, which is TalkShoe, to maybe using Zoom as my live platform, because I have a Zoom account. That means people can dial in to my Zoom room. I just got to check to see how I need to set it up, because I know I have to set it up so that I'm the controller of who's muted, who's unmuted, that kind of thing. I'm pretty sure I can do that. Basically, making it more like a webinar format, maybe. Possibly not. No, I want it to be a meeting, but I want to be under control. And also, obviously, I have to accept those people in. Have to do I forget what it's called. They have a room. You have it so that people first come into your Zoom room, and then you say, oh yeah, you can accept him and bring them in. That's the cutback on spammers, scammers, and all our miscreants. And then the idea is possibly moving the feed over to my website. That's one thing I need to look into. I need to look into Apple, because currently only Apple is the only one that currently has a feed. Have Apple's, you can get Apple's, also you can get it directly from my SFU on call website. You can get the link there. And also, you can actually get the link from TalkShoe. And the problem is, the one on Apple right now is pointing to TalkShoe. This is why I hesitate of moving, because I think I can change the one on iTunes that's registered in iTunes to be a different feed. Problem. I know what happens when people do that. I've experienced that. I know that if I do that, all of a sudden, any history that you have, if you like, okay, I'm like 20 podcasts behind. I'm gonna catch up. I'm gonna catch up. And you will. I know you will. Problem, if I do that, it resets everything. Everything becomes unplayed. I don't want to do that to people. I really don't. But I don't know what else to do at the moment. I please, if you are on the sound, hear the sound of my voice, please email me sfuoncall@gmail.com and just tell me. All you have to do is tell me how you're listening to it. Is it iTunes? Have you captured the podcast feed from sfuoncall? Have you captured the feed from TalkShoe? Do you actually go to TalkShoe and listen to the podcast on TalkShoe.com itself? That's what I'd like to know. Obviously, if I move off of TalkShoe, and if you actually listen to the podcast through TalkShoe, it actually has advertisements, advertisements, at least at the beginning. You won't be hearing that if I change the feed to my own feed, because I don't have advertisements in my feed that I actually put in myself. Unless you call, the found an online store an advertisement for ADB. If it is, it is. This is about ADB's products. As you know, obviously some of the things that I do with ADB products, in licensing, like have to be online. That's one of those things that I do. And obviously you guys hear about it because I'm the developer of it, and also the maintainer and proprietor of both this and S Starfleet Warlord. Both of those are use the IP property of ADBs, and obviously, and that's why that's all about. SFU on call. That's the whole thing this is about. Well, kind of. The part of it was supposed to be build a community. Actually, I had a nice community at the beginning. Things that people have moved away, and that's fine. Obviously, my regulars that call in, I'd have to actually give them a new way of doing that. But this is something I'm thinking about at the moment. I'm going to first contact support. That's first move. First move is contact support, and also check on iTunes Connect to check on if I can move, change the feed. I'm pretty sure I can, because I've seen those things happen. It's kind of, but please, email me about that so that I know that if I do move, what will be in the ramifications to y'all, to the listeners, because I really want to know. Because if I do move, because I can move, as I said, now that I've talked about this in the past, I really have, especially when TalkShoe was taking a nosedive. I was thinking about moving because it seemed like there was going to be just closing up shop. Then somebody bought them, and it was brand new world, brand new world. And the problem is, it seemed to be going a little down. I'm not sure how much of a platform is being used, how much, if they're, if there might be closing shop at any time, because there's some glitches in the system when it comes to podcasting that are not really good. I'm willing to bet that TalkShoe is a great place for meetings, for a way of dynamically, quickly creating meetings, have people talk online without a lot of. So, oh, we got to download this client and or this app, and then set do this, do this, do this. Yeah, it's great for that. It's just that I need it to be a podcasting platform that it will consistently release my podcast, and I like to know, is there something that I'm doing that they don't, that the system doesn't like? For all I know, the one thing that I do that they might not like is I do my own recording and then I edit it. Because for those who are live, they know this. For those who are not live, you might not realize this. And that is, there's actually, I record in two phases. I record earlier in the day, usually like half an hour before the podcast begins. And for those of you who have been with me from the beginning, I used to actually record it live, the news portion live, and then move directly into the rest of the podcast. And that's why I would start it like early. I'd start like maybe 20 after 9 or something like that, and then go from there and just move right into the podcast, which is was kind of awkward. But at the moment, what I do is I record early, and then I put, I splice that and a pen. I put it at the beginning of the podcast, and then I have the live portion of the podcast, which I'm sure anyone who's listened to the podcast long enough knows that knows how that seems to. I do that transition, and you can tell. Oh, I go from, oh, welcome to the Starfleet Universe On Call. I'm Paul Franz. Do, hey, it's me. That's pre-recorded to live. So I'm pretty sure most of you know this already. But so maybe they don't like that. I'm slicing and dicing my, maybe even trimming some of the things that I don't like some dead air that where there's portion or where there's technical difficulties, I can possibly clean them up and get rid of them as if they never existed. But anyway, I then take that, I upload that to TalkShoe, and I want that published. I don't want the original recording published. It's possible that their system just does not like that. That they only want you to basically record and forget. So I think Dave Hamilton would put it is basically live to tape. So it's a take it live session. You record it and just push it out there without much change. And that's basically what I do. The only thing I do is I add the news portion because of it just it got because I want the news portion and I think it's important to have that stuff. At the beginning, before I get into the topics for discussion for the evening, and this is the evening. For me, it's I start this as I said 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. I'm Eastern time, fortunately. sometimes not fortunately, but that's why sometimes I have to cut off a little bit early because I need to get some rest because I do have a day job. This is my only thing, and Lord knows I'm glad it's not my only thing because I'd be living out of my car or possibly living on the street, and I wouldn't have a computer, I wouldn't have a car, I wouldn't have anything. But anyway, sorry, I went down that went down that rabbit hole. So that's one thing I'm thinking about doing. Obviously, if I move away from TalkShoe, everything's going to be from SFU On Call, the website, including the Zoom link to invite people to come to the live show. I will still do this for those of you watching on the video. I'm pointing to my iPad. That's Twitch. I'm still go stream live to Twitch also. I've not, obviously, I have to work. I'd have to work out the details on how to get that all set up so I can stream to both platforms. I don't think that's gonna be, that should not be too difficult. I'm not sure about that thing, i.e. the camera, and how take recording streaming that in OBS and streaming on Zoom would work. I might have to. There's something called a virtual camera in OBS, and I'm not sure if that's what I need to do. I will look at it. I will look into that because I'm not gonna lose this portion, which is the streaming on Twitch. If I'm gonna stream on Zoom, I also want to stream on Twitch. Obviously, just like with TalkShoe, currently I streamed live on Twitch. I mean on TalkShoe, and that is actually a video feed. In theory, actually, I can do a live do keep on doing what I'm doing now. I mean, not with TalkShoe, but with Zoom. Don't have video on Zoom. just have video with OBS, and then and have Zoom just use have it as purely a phone and audio form, because I don't see any reason to record to actually stream my lovely face on Zoom, you know, because I've got this way I've got things set up. The only reason I'd be using Zoom, the reason why I would use Zoom as a replacement for TalkShoot is basically the idea of that you actually can call in, because that's the one thing I really don't want to lose, you know, because we have Gary, we have Barry, we got other some people that actually call in. Maybe not often, but they do call in. Doug doesn't call in. Doug usually comes in. Hold on. He will, you know, I will call him on my phone and bring him in that way, and then I call in. It's kind of weird, but it works. And then, you know, I can bring some, act as a bridge for him so that he can log into this. I'm not sure why he can't call directly into TalkShoot. Not sure why, but whatever. But also, I have him come in on Discord. So, for, you know, on the Discord, so that he can stream live to me, and he can, while he's streaming, you know, using Discord to talk to me. Hold on. I don't know what in the world's going on with my throat at the moment. I'm getting a little tickle in my throat, but forgive me. So he does that at the moment. So he doesn't call in very often. My guess has something to do with the phone. I'm not sure. Maybe minutes, might have to pay for minutes on the phone, that kind of thing. I don't know what his phone plan is. I know he has a bare bones phone plan. That I know. It's very cost conscious in that way. But anyhow, you know, that might be something that I'll want to do. As I said, I'm just giving you guys a heads up of what I'm thinking about. I know I talked about this before when they were having issues. And again, when they had issues with what? There was something else. There was another time they had issues after everything went. And I got that. I got, and they fixed it. I remember. Whoa. Hey, Doug. I see him on Twitch. I don't know how that's happening, but it is. Okay. Anyhow. Previously, they fixed it. And that's why they were really good at fixing it. And same for, you know, they've been very happy to fix the things I've had problems with. They haven't, you know, the last time I think I got a new guy. He did not quite sure what to do. So it took him a little longer. Usually I can just say, oh, this is what's happening. Okay, but well, boom, done. You know, they fix it. No, this one had a little more interaction. So it took a little longer. Because I had to sit down and figure out what he's asking. But anyhow, so that's going on. That's the heads up that things might change. I will not move. I promise you, I will give you at least a month's heads up when it comes to moving, so that people have plenty of time to get caught up, to hopefully hear the message before I move. I will probably also keep an eye out on my sfuoncall.com website. Obviously, if you don't see anything from me, like actually, we did have one person actually said, hey, nothing's happening on your talk shoot. I reached the end of the feed. And then I said, no, because it had been published for like 4 months. And not because I didn't know. Now I keep my podcast on my podcast. I have my podcatcher, i.e. iTunes, the podcast app for my phone. So I actually can keep an eye on, hey, this has not been published. Okay. Probably my own hand. Yeah, that's probably right. Anyhow, so keep an eye on that. Okay, número do, no, dos, topic dos, topic dos. That is, that's one thing that, that Steve Cole is basically reporting, and please keep him in your prayers, please. Patrick might not be able to get back to work. He's in the hospital, and they're currently unsure if he actually can return to work. I just read this tonight. It got posted like 5 o'clock this evening, my time. I think it's my time. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's my time. Now, and he's possibly looking for a Sapphire Star judge. Now, so what I'm thinking about doing when it comes to that is I'm thinking about offering my services. He said that basically he'll pay the person $25 a tournament to judge. I'll do that. Actually, reminds me, I gotta pay them. I owe them some money. I gotta figure out how much I owe them. And because I have to look at PayPal and so forth, I know I'm a little behind on those things. But anyhow, I'll volunteer for $25. I'll volunteer for free. If you can't pay me the $25, then that'd be fine. That just means I wouldn't be playing in the tournaments, which is fine. I don't play that often. Actually, I have to get together with Jeff Clark on another tournament. That we're that work that he's playing with, that I'm playing in. I got, and then of course I have the one with Justin, so I got, I'm gonna play that. So I'm getting time online client. I'm getting time to actually playing. So I'm hoping to. I figured that I can be a better judge in that. I'm hoping I will be more responsive than Steve Patrick, because I know Steve Patrick does have some issues. Hopefully, I can do a good job judging. Obviously, if I am a judge, I cannot play in the tournaments because that's kind of bad in my per form, poor form, in my mind. So I will not be playing in the Sapphire Star tournament anymore if Steve Cole takes up my offer to for me to become the judge. So I will. I'm gonna email him maybe today or possibly tomorrow. Obviously, the big thing for tonight is that after the podcast is over, usually I try to wrap things up really quick, put things together, and shove them out the door, and then have me go to bed because I have to get up bright and early, bright and early. So I'll have to wait and see on that. There is. The one thing I have to look up actually is that my understanding is that it's time to run the Crown Tournament, which I need to check up on the rules for the Crown Tournament. I know it they take I think it's the previous four tournaments, and then they create a brand a tree from that, and I forget what the selection process is when it comes to the ships. I'm assuming that what happens with the ships. I'm just seeing 20. I only see the one. I see the Sapphire Crown for 2020. Let me just look at this for a moment. Okay. Okay. Bum, bah, bah. Okay. Yeah, so it's like four of the last four last winners. I got we might start with 19 and not worry about the crown tournament at the moment. We'll have to wait and see on that. But anyhow, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But obviously keep Patrick in your prayers. I think Patrick will be replaced as the judge for the staff some of our star tournaments. Hopefully, I can take it, and I should be able to do it. I think I can do a better job, given that I think I'm online a little more than Steve Patrick. Obviously, I know that means I have to keep an eye on things, and I might even have to create a separate account for just judging, so that people can so it doesn't get so those emails don't get buried in the rest of my emails that I get. That's the great thing. I actually have this one email account, which currently, actually, the amount of email is growing and growing and growing as I get that email address out there for different services and so forth. One thing I did notice about that email account, which is I enjoyed being able to have it so that basically it was kind of zero inbox, and I'm going, that would be nice. That's why I'm thinking about maybe I should create a separate a judging account. So I will, if Steve Cole will have me, then I'll set up a separate email account just for judging, and hopefully people will contact me via that. So that, and I'll definitely encourage people to do that. So if this is about the tournament, send it to this account, so then it will come up more readily to my attention. To Lord knows, there's some other accounts which get buried. And my Andromedan account on SMB Online, that one gets buried sometimes because I still have a lot of email which I need to go through, some old unread emails. Some of them are years old that I still need to go through, and I really want to go through. I'm gonna get that set as nice and cleaned up. I just need to figure out what to do with this. I gotta go through the emails, delete them, and so forth. I'm not declaring bankruptcy. Basically, for those of you of the inbox zero crowd, you know what I'm talking about. That is the whole idea of deal calling inbox bankruptcy. Take everything in your inbox, throw it in the trash, and then tell anyone, okay, if you don't hear from me, and you tell anyone of your inbox that you correspond to degree, email them going, okay, I've declared a bankruptcy, email inbox bankruptcy. If you don't get a response from me that you're expecting, please email me because I deleted that email. I think some people at my work actually should do that just because of I've seen some of the emails inbox that go, this is driving nuts. It's like 7,000, 8,000 unread in emails. It's like, people, what are you doing? What are you doing? Really? At least delete them. I'm not, I'm, you know, I've own my own system when it comes to email. If it's not If I do a quick read of the email, if it's not targeted to me, delete. There's a lot of, there's, for example, at work, one of the things that happens is that I'm there's one mailing list that I'm or mailing group that I'm part of gets a lot of notifications from all the jobs that we're running, and it tells you whether it succeeded or failed. Well, not really succeeded, whether it's failed. The thing is, I don't care because I'm not part of that group that's actually responsible for fixing the problems unless they email me directly and say, hey, Paul, can you look at this? So I changed it so that my email account for work automatically takes any failures and goes right into the trash. I don't look at it. I don't care if they fail because it's not my responsibility. I'm just part of that list so I can hear some of the discussion from that group. So that's, and invariably, when I get into the morning, I have to delete somewhere around 80 emails, but I have to keep up to that because otherwise And then even though on vacation, what I have to do is actually I have to go in to my inbox and just delete things. They'll delete the things that are not important, I think are not important, including some notifications that, hey, posting this, I'm deploying the latest build or whatever. That kind of stuff can easily be automated in a lot of cases anyway. And the funny thing when it comes to email, that's one thing I noticed. Okay, I try a new method when it comes to notifying my group of, oh yeah, this, please, read this, and you need to do this because otherwise things will be broken. I said, okay, there's probably a different approach. I'm gonna use a separate email account to send this, hoping that people are actually more likely to read it. I'm not sure. At the moment, I feel like I got better reaction to it, but I still don't have 100%. I'm still being felt like 80%. Actually, I won't know for months, actually, because here's the thing: unless they're doing a certain action, this will not fail. This might not fail for them for another month or two. Which is, in some cases, I'm shocked. It's like, you're a developer, right? What are you doing? Don't know. But, because it's going to break. Not sure. But anyway, but at the moment, I feel like that I got a little better response with people actually doing, have performing an action, But I have to wait and see. I wait and see. I thought I'd be done with it. No, there's definitely one person who consistently seems like they don't read the emails I send. And I think the problem is not that they don't read my emails, is that they don't hardly read any emails. My guess is they're going, oh, I'm just so flooded with emails. Like, well, you have to come up with a system and whatever works for you. And for me, it means ruthlessly deleting any emails which are not associated with me. And if it's like, oh, did you read that email? I went, no. Because it wasn't associated with what I'm doing. I don't need to respond. And if I don't need to respond, I delete it. So anyhow. Sorry, went down the email tangent. So down that. Now, one thing that I did actually, I mentioned this last week. I figured I'd go on to this next topic, which is I have an interesting idea, and I've only explored it a little more, and I figure I'll explore it now. Because of, as I mentioned last week, I'm fascinated with Zork and that whole user, the user interface that's so simple that you can use it. Doesn't have to, don't need a GUI, of course. Okay, honesty here. I grew up back in the good old days, yes, call me grandpa, I'm fine. Just realized I don't have a grandparent, a grandchildren. Wish I did, but I don't. But anyhow, don't get me started on that. I wish my kids were married. None of my kids are married. One of them definitely cannot be married. The other one, don't know if she's ever going to be interested in being married or even have a partner. And the other one, I don't see it. But, here's hoping. Because I know the one is really looking for, not a partner, looking for a friend at the moment, someone that she can share things with. And she's having a hard time because she moved away from home. Where she had actually some friends that she actually could meet up with, though, come on. let's be honest here, people. Actually, well, I grew up as a family. When it comes to my family, we all grew up in Maryland, our nice little hometown. None of us stayed in our home in that in where we grew up. Well, we all moved. My older brother, he moved to Jersey. At the moment, actually, he's back in Maryland, but he's still not where our house was near in our same community. My youngest brother, he moved down to a little above Annapolis. I grew up a little north of Baltimore. So he's still, again, not in that community. Yes, he would stop by and see mom and so forth, but he didn't live in the community. Didn't stay with where all his friends were, though one of our friends actually moved out to Phoenix, Arizona. And every once in a while he comes back like every year, like the July 4th. We have a July 4th party. He comes around for that, and actually he meets up with some of his other friends that he knows from the area, because he actually for a while there lived in Pennsylvania, and I tried to meet up with him as much as I possibly could, just to meet up, because I didn't have many friends in the area, so hey, it's a great thing to do. And then my sister, she originally went to college. She went to college in right around. Actually, she was a commuter at college. Then she went to Pittsburgh to get her PhD. Didn't finish her PhD. Didn't never. Never defend her paper. Don't get me started on that one. I still don't understand why she never did it. She explained it to me. I still don't understand why. I don't know, for her, basically, after she got married, it wasn't that important to her. Okay, I can understand that. But you were this close to grabbing the gold, to having your PhD. Yeah. It's not to defend your paper, that's all. Oh. Anyhow, but now she's down near Dallas, near Dallas, Texas. So we're all over the place. And so, that's the way my family works. Well, that seems like that's where my kids, for the most part, work. The one is actually still living with us, and I don't see it going away anytime soon. Really don't. She is definitely a blessing to me. I am so glad she's around, because she is able to help my wife and I get other things done. We can go out and possibly even go away for the weekend, and we know that the cats are gonna be taken care of. Things like that. That's great. Honestly, if she lives close by, relatively close, a couple hours away, we could do the same thing. She does come and visit and spend time with our cats, though. Of course, they want to have all the she they want to be the cat lady. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't see being just have all kinds of cats. We got three cats. We usually have four. And that's enough for me, though. Anyhow, where was I going? I'm sorry, I went on another rant. This reminds me of a YouTuber I follow, which is he does map reading, which actually I find kind of fun and fascinating. And he does what's called waffling, which is what I just did. But his waffling is a lot more interesting because he talks about history and that kind. So not about his personal not about his personal life. But anyhow, Zork, yeah, that's it. Let's get back to Zork. And as I said, surprise, big surprise that I grew up on DOS, text-based interfaces. No, I was not. I wasn't talking about Federation Committer. But yeah. And so I'm used to having text-based interface. It wasn't until Windows. Okay, let me think about this for a moment. It wasn't until had Mac. Yes, I had a Mac. That was the first GUI interface I ever had. And after that, after I got that in college, that's when I got my Mac because I went to Drexel. It was a requirement to have a Mac back in those days. These days, you can't imagine going to college without a computer. Even things like artists, you know. I dealt with text-based interfaces for what, the first 6 years of working on or playing with computers, I think it is. I'm used to a text-based interface and I like it. You know, Lord knows I spent a lot of my time in my day job. I work in the terminal so much. There's only three places I go to. Browser, terminal, and oh, and Slack. That's it. Those are the main ones. Every once in a while, because my email actually goes through the browser. I didn't want to deal with setting my mail client and have it so that go get email that way. I tried the Apple email client and went the problem is I have so much mail that I've deleted. And then once I download all that, it's like I have to let it, I'd probably let it sit there for a whole weekend for it to download everything. It's like no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna let it go. I don't need an app to do what I want. I can use the web-based interface. I'm fine with it. It works fine. I actually tried using Slack using a website, and that just didn't work. You know, it just didn't work. Anyhow. So getting back to Zork and the whole idea of text-based interface, one thing I'm not sure it's possible, to be honest. And that is, as you know, I think it would be definitely make it easier for accessibility, which I'm still not done improving the client when it comes to accessibility. I'm slowed down a little bit. I know I need to work on it more. I know I need to work on it more and release. Again, mainly the one feature I mentioned last week, one or two. I mentioned some features last week. One of them being the one thing which I definitely realized, which I have to put I have in the fire, you know, fire decision window. I have to put in, okay, what's the status of the weapon itself, so that it can be read by a screen reader, because currently, as I said, it's a red line, and blind people can't read that because they don't see it, and the screen readers really don't recognize that. Oh, this is red versus black, you know. That and also the whether the weapons can hit the target that's being aimed at. Those two features in that. I've actually think it could be a good idea to actually have an ability to enter the text in a text field, set up a speed plot. You know, when you click on speed plot for EA, click on that and say, okay, here's the speed plot. So that kind of things, you know, when it comes to possibly fire. Okay. I'd like to see if it's possible, and I'm not sure it is, which is to have a purely text-based interface when it comes to playing SFB. I know it's kind of a crazy idea, and for most people, they're going, why would you want to do that? Now, obviously, there are certain things about it which are great. Portability, it's portable anywhere you want. And if I can slice and dice the client so that I can maybe create a server out of it, you know, people can play it using a website, you know, just log in and do it from there. But obviously there's normal issues with it when it comes to SFB itself. A little less when it comes to FedCom. Yes, I'll talk about FedCom. Wow. Ajiba, I'm sure I'm pronouncing the call sign correct. Ajiba 99. In the 90s, they played BattleTech using text-based interface over Telnet. Yes, people, we actually had unencrypted connections to servers, but on BattleTech's mushes. I'm not sure what I know what BattleTech is. I don't know what mushes are. I can see that you do that. You can actually. I can see that because of when it comes to the SSDs, it's relatively simple. Obviously, when it comes to SSDs and the SFB, you can do that via text based. That one would not be the issue in my mind because of just like text based interface, text based SHIP SSDs, which basically are what it is a table with one side being the type of the box, the other one the number of that box. Oh, multi-user shared nation. Dude, I gotta look that up. I gotta look that up. I'm sorry, people. No. There it is. Mush. The type of mud. Okay, Mush is multiplayer online game. Mush, acronym. Variation of mud. Most often expanded as multi-user shared hallucination. Though multi-user shared hack, habitat, and holodeck are also observed in a text-based online social medium to which multiple users are connected to at the same time. Mush is often used for online social interaction role-playing games. Makes sense. Although the most forms of Mush do not appear to be coded specifically to implement gaming activity, Mush software was originally derived from MUDs. Today, two major variants are descended from TinyMUD, which fundamentally the social game. Mush is forked over the years, and they are now different. Varieties with different features, although most have strong similarities to those. Interesting. Maybe I definitely like to look at the mushes. Pen mush developed from mud and pern mush at the University of Pennsylvania. Wow. I'm gonna take a look at this later. Obviously, I need to put down the crack pipe of looking at this kind of cool stuff. When it comes to having okay, a mush, whatever. Text-based form of playing SFB. Obviously, some of it actually requires you to be thinking, and because. Sorry. Thinking, yeah, you're always thinking, but I think that well, the term I wanted to actually use was imagining. Imagine the board, and to a certain degree, possibly even have a board next to you, so you can actually see where would that piece be on that board. Not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to have the pieces on the board themselves. Now, as I explained last week, I think having like the radar command, that idea where basically you have angles and so forth, so it gives you a better idea of where the ships are. Yeah, that's great. You can obviously easily move the ships around the board. Okay, no problem. Then you start getting into the more difficult parts. I think the most difficult part, okay, the easiest part, I would think, is setting a speed plot. Because all you need to do is go slash, you know, for those selected ships, you go, when you start a turn, you can say, okay, start turn, boom. Okay, that will start a turn in that, at that point, you're in the energy allocation phase. And that would, when you did that, it would report that back on the screen, going, okay, now in energy allocation phase. Now, setting a speed plot, obviously, relatively easy to do. Just slash, do a splash speed plot, and then, as I said, give that format, which is 1- the first impulse - the ending impulse equals the speed. So if you want, in the case of obviously a speed plot, they just want 16, you should be able to just type like 16, and that does it for all 32 impulses. But if you want, like, for the first 10, speed 10, you got 1-10 equals 16, comma, then 11-24 equals 20. So that's your speed increase to speed 20 on impulse 11. And then, you know, comma, 25-32 equals 30. Not 30. Let's say 21. 21. So you slowly increase, and you possibly even have a decrease in there. Whatever. Doesn't matter. But that, you know, that'd be the kind of format for a speed, but okay, relatively easy to do. Now, allocation, relatively easy to do. You know, you could say, you know, DAC on this ship. Obviously, and possibly say, okay, what shields are damaged? And from those shields that are damaged or slash damage, you know, for that ship. And you say, okay, one, you know, but based on the shields, one, you know, shield 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Now, obviously, you know, when it comes to non-alpha ships, that will have to change, but I digress. And that can easily do a damage allocation, and it'll prompt you when you need to make a decision on, okay, which box to damage. And obviously that currently text-based ships can easily be shown. Because you should be able to do, you know, like the SSD for a ship, and it can easily spit that out, saying, okay, this comma, this many boxes, this comma, this, this comma, this. And spit that out. So it's relatively easy to do. Okay, so far, no problem. Relatively easy. Now, the most difficult one I can see off the top of my head. Now, obviously, yeah, off the top of my head, when it comes to the doing it in tech space, energy allocation. How do you do energy allocation? In my mind, there's possibly one way to do that, which is, you know, type, of course, /EA. And you have to specify the ship, because in my mind, you have currently, the client anyway, you only can do the energy allocation for one ship at a time. Yeah, there are multiple tabs, but you can't say, okay, I'm going to do, all these ships are the same, do the same energy allocation for all of them. Because in my honest opinion, that's a rare thing. It's rare that you have, like my one opponent. Oh, jeez. Forget his name. Whatever. My first round when it comes to the 500 BPV tournament. And that is that. He had five ships are all the same. That is true. Actually, I gotta look at that. I knew Stop doing that. Oh, but still my beating heart. I'm sorry. A job I mentioned. One of those things was the greatest piece of software ever designed when it comes to text-based interfaces. VisiCalc. For anyone back in the day, and I'm okay, give me a sec, give me a sec. 82 or 83, I forget exactly when VisiCalc came out, but it was available on the Apple II. And that was one of the greatest spreadsheets ever made. It was so cool. And with the advent of VisiCalc, that started the whole spreadsheet thing. Spreadsheets are the godsend that, in my mind, when spreadsheets came available, that's when businesses really got interested in personal computers. Because now they actually could do calculations. As I was saying, oh, VisiCalc could both do both your taxes and your energy allocation. Yeah, it could. Okay, now, okay. Let me go back just for a moment. What Jeba is talking about here, he's talking about NCurses. For those of you who don't know anything about programming, NCurses is what's the library for doing text-based interfaces. It actually was created for Unix. It's ported to Linux, and probably should be able to be done on any text-based systems. Which is most systems in the universe can do at very least a terminal. Okay, just don't mind me. Bah, bah, bah. Whoa, hold on. Okay, it looks like there's some JN curses. Curses for J is a Java binding to the N curses library. Okay, and this was created 11 years ago. No big surprise there. I mean, I'm honestly mean thing. Okay, uh-oh. Okay. My browser scared me for there for a moment, people. I went back and it went, oh, yeah. Now, what I'm thinking about is, I guess I'm looking, thinking about something more along the lines as you said, your telnet connections. But basically, I'm not talking about a TUI. Sorry. TUI is a text-based user interface. Basically, it uses NCurses so that you're doing things completely on a terminal window, a text-based screen. And TUI is something that you actually have interact. You can go, you have fields and so forth, versus something like an IRC session or like Slack or whatever, where basically it's just a log of things. And I can imagine when it comes to SFB, I was just picturing a TUI and more of like an IRC based kind of thing with logs and so forth. And I can see when it comes to energy allocations, in theory, what you could do is actually have a prompting for each field. Okay. Okay, give a default value and then say, okay, what do you want the value to be? And then after you're done entering all the fields, then it'll spit it out and say, is this correct? And in some case, it might do some calculations because when it comes to the SFB Online client, it does do some calculations. It does add it up and then tell you, okay, when it comes to reserve power, how much reserve power do you have? Have you allocated too much energy compared to how much energy you actually have available to you? Things like that. And it will actually do some addition when it comes to that. It will not tell you, okay, that you enter in the correct amount of energy into a field. But it will calculate the result of that. Speed plot is one of those things which was wonderful, because when it comes to speed plot, when it comes to the current interface, it takes the speed plot and goes, oh, okay, this calculate, this is how much it would cost you, you know, given your movement cost and given the speed plot, how much is it going to cost in the EA? And of course, it gets adjusted if you say, okay, I'm using impulse, because depending upon what kind of ship you're using, impulse always costs one. But if you're doing two-thirds, you have running a two-thirds movement cost ship, then obviously it costs more energy to move your ship. If you're using one point of impulse to move one, you know, so it'd be like, you know, if you allocate to move speed 24, and then you say I want to use my impulse, then okay, now you're moving speed 23. You calculate that for two-thirds arming, two-thirds movement cost, and then you add one to it. So it's not the round, nice round number that 24 usually is, which is 24 movement times two-thirds. That'd be 16. It wouldn't be that. It'd be like 16 and one-third. If you used impulse. So interesting. But that's more, I was thinking about it, is more along the lines of an IRC chat window. So I guess that wouldn't be too bad. I guess the most difficult part about it would be the firing is a little more, firing would be kind of clunky to a certain degree. You know, obviously easily implement firing alpha, you know, an alpha strike. Simple alpha strike is simple. When you want to put exceptions to that, that's when things get a little more complicated. But moving the ship and imagining where you are on the board and where your opponents are on the board, I think is the most difficult part. So, you know, as I said, the radar one is kind of, the whole idea of having angles and so forth, that's really nice. I think actually what probably be the most useful for people is actually being able to report on the text in the text interface. Not just, you know, the position, but when it comes to relative position, in terms of hexes, you know, like, okay, the person is directly C, but is one hex, like two hexes in the B direction. That gives you a better idea. And then, you know, their total distance is 10, you know, so it'd be like, it would be eight hexes straight out direction C, and then two hexes up, and that's the position. So, you know, if that'd be possible to do, obviously the more difficult one is one where it's between the two shield lines. You know, do you say it's right there, you know, shield lines at direction, whatever, you know, that's probably the best way of doing it versus saying, oh, you know, when, let's say it's two hexes away, right on the split of the shield line, so saying like two hexes away, one off, you know, direction B, one hex in direction B, and then one hex direction C, you know, towards direction C. You know, it gets a little clunky. You know, say that instead of saying, okay, it's two hexes right on the shield line between shield number two and number three. You know, so I think it's possible to do it. Yeah, will be a little clunky. Yeah, but of course, I think it's a neat idea. But the thing is, of course, the easiest one is obviously the graphical user interface, because you actually can see the counters on the board. You can see the EA. You can see all these things that are part of it. You know, when it comes to text based, also some things might have to be automated, i.e., the weapons possibly. Of course, that requires that the client or whatever, the server, understand the weapons chart. Possibly even have the weapons chart in a different form, just so they can understand it. So anyway, I think I will leave it there for this evening. Had a nice little chat with you guys about the status of TalkShoe and the podcast. You know, talked to you a little bit about the whole idea of a text-based interface for running SFB, and I'm talking about IRC log type text-based. Obviously, a TUI would be kind of interesting too. I think that it's kind of cool in that you could low bandwidth. It's kind of interesting, you know, the idea of a TUI. So. With that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.